Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Today's episode is brought to you by We Love You and So Can You. It's a new podcast that's part reality show and part self-love school. Two of my fave genres. If you know the podcast by the book, then you're going to love this one. It's hosted by the same people, Kristen Meinzer and Jolenta Greenberg. On We Love You and So Can You, Kristen and Jolenta send listeners on their own self-help journeys and help them make over a big part of their life, like jumping back into the dating world or starting a new career. You'll have fun, you'll laugh, and if you're like me, maybe you'll cry too, all the time. So you can listen to We Love You and So Can You in your podcast app right now. Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. I'm here in the studio, as always, with my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Mary.
Hey, man. I'm just about to unzip my pants a little bit. Just let myself go a little bit, because these pants are tight when I sit.
Good. My pants are roomy.
Ooh.
I feel like my shorts look like a mom from, like, the 90s.
As it should be, though.
Where it's, like, it would be around your waist, but then the bottom of it would, like, flare out like a parachute.
You could basically fly away.
I could, and I will.
No. We have a podcast to do.
They can use my shorts in gym classes, so all the children will take a part of them. And
hide in your pants? Maybe not the best metaphor to use.
Moving right along. All right. We're going to start things off, as always, with worst things first, where I talk about the worst news of the week. After that, we are diving deep into a grain bowl with leafy greens and probably some goddamn chia seeds sprinkled on top, because we are complaining about super healthy foods and why you can't make me eat it, Mom. And finally, we've got Jordan Carlos in the studio. Jordan is a stand-up comedian, writer, actor. You've seen him on The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore and the Striking Vipers episode of Black Mirror. He also hosts the amazing podcast Adulting with former guest complainer, personal fave, Michelle Buteau.
It's great.
So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's grab our protein shakes and start the show. All right, worst things first, the worst news of the week. First, a medical journal. Ever heard of it?
What's that?
It's where they study
medicines
and other herbs.
And they write in their diary every night.
Perhaps a surgery. Yeah. I don't know if you know, medical journals are just doctors' journal entries, just their diaries. Yeah. They write to one another about one another.
Wow.
That's what Grey's Anatomy is based on.
It's basically a burn book.
Anyway, a medical journal reported that the case of a 72-year-old British man. It's my impersonation of an elderly British man. He had minor surgery. He gets discharged, he goes home, and then later he has to go back to the emergency room because he's having trouble swallowing. Been there, girl. Also, he was coughing up blood. And they did an x-ray and they were like, oh, you just have pneumonia. So they sent him home with some steroids.
Steroids. Steer him in the right direction.
Steer, like a deer steer, a male deer.
Super strong.
I don't think that's what it is.
Nope, it's steroids.
So they sent him back home with some steroids. Then he goes back because the problem doesn't go away. He goes back for another x-ray because the problem, nevertheless, she persisted. It had been 8 days since his first surgery. It turns out he swallowed his fucking dentures.
Oh my God.
And no one was like, hey, maybe you swallowed your fucking teeth that you put in every day and haven't for the past 8 days.
Wait, I complain about swallowing pills, like swallowing my vitamin supplements. I can like barely get that down. Dentures? Whole dentures?
Yeah.
Where?
Where did he think his teeth were?
Does he have replacement teeth?
From the sound of it, because it said it's a metal plate and like three or four false teeth. So okay. I'm guessing okay. It's one of those dentures.
Just a couple. It's not like right. The whole row.
It fills in the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
But also, yeah, I guess he just thought like it got misplaced.
Yeah.
And then like forgot that he had them in when he went into surgery.
Next time I lose something, I'll just make sure to look in my throat.
Yeah. Basically, they quoted this one anesthesiologist.
Good job.
And yeah, she was like, sometimes when we shove the tube down there, it brings some stuff with it. Like their fucking teeth. Maybe check if their teeth are detachable. Yeah. I just like for 8 days, this old man didn't know he swallowed his fucking teeth.
That's what that Beatles song is about.
What?
8 days of teeth.
Don't. There was one time, speaking of dentures, I might have said this on the pod before, when my mom literally ripped out my tooth with a wrench.
No, what? Oh my God, no.
Let me tell you about Debbie. Debbie likes to do things DIY. I don't know. She had a reputation as someone who was like very good at taking our teeth out when they were loose, mostly. And I got my braces in when I still had a couple of baby teeth. They just didn't put the braces on.
They
it would just
my
be
teeth
like
out.
A bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were, mine wasn't like quite loose enough. So they were like, we just won't put a brace on that one. The wire will go across it when it comes out and your new one comes in. We'll put it on.
Mm-hmm.
My mom was like, not today. It got to a point where it was loose enough. And then she was like, I can't get a good grip on it. Go get the toolbox. And we sterilized it by putting a thin Kleenex over the top.
Get a lighter. Put it over the stove.
No, it went in my mouth. She pulled it out. Blood came gushing everywhere. And I immediately vomited everywhere. Like the bloodiest vomit.
God. We don't need any more worse things first.
I'm still haunted by that.
I know
exactly.
All of
I can picture. I can play it in my head. I was standing under the fan. The light was on. I ran immediately to the bathroom and threw up in the sink. And it was.
Why do you always throw up in the sink? Go to the toilet.
Because the sink is often closer by some several inches. This was a small suburban home where I still live to that day.
Wow.
Anyway, next, Heinz is offering to help a person who stole a bottle of ketchup from a New Jersey restaurant and then returned it later with a note that said that basically they wanted to give it back because the bottle had brought them nothing but bad luck after they stole it. I love that. This is the plot of like a Goosebumps book. Just like the cursed bottle of ketchup. So they stole a ketchup. They said, quote, they wanted to do something risky.
This person, this sounds honestly like me.
The lowest stakes thing imaginable.
I'm going to do something fucking insane.
You know how many bottles of ketchup my grandma's probably stolen?
She's a rebel. She's a risk taker.
Yeah, you know, that's step one of, like, kleptomania.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Especially if they're the little ketchup bottles. I mean, you can't not take those.
Yeah, they're adorable.
They're so cute.
I do always get it. It seems unnecessary, but it is luxurious when I get a tiny bottle of ketchup, like with room service. That's when I always get them, with room service. They have the tiny ketchup one, the tiny mayo one, and the tiny mustard one that nobody's ever opened.
Already too much mustard.
Yeah. Like mustard, you don't even need to put it on your meal. Just like have it near it.
Just like whiff it.
Yeah.
And you'll get it.
You'll get the seeds. The seeds are in there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, this thief took the bottle from a New Jersey restaurant. A New Jersey restaurant, too. Like, that's all they have, that bottle of ketchup. She robbed, she or he, I just assumed that the criminal was a woman. The person got into a car accident later and then experienced other misfortunes, unspecified. And then they returned, two bottles.
Well, that's a little greedy.
Yeah, now we're getting deeper into it. This is when you confess to one crime and then slowly all of the rest. I bet they caused that car accident and all the other misfortunes. But they brought it back with a note that said was like, this is the worst thing I've ever done, and that they were just trying to do something risky. But then Heinz on Twitter was like, reach out to us and we'll help you out. No, they stole your ketchup.
I'm pretty sure that they're going to like launch a campaign for this person to run for president.
They might as well.
If this is the worst thing this person has done, they're already more qualified than most of the people running.
Next! Authorities said that a Humboldt County sheriff's deputy was driving down the highway answering a report for a drug overdose when suddenly a bear just fell from the sky. And it smashed into the hood and the windshield.
No, the poor baby.
And then the patrol car hit an embankment, rolled onto its side, and burst into flames.
Oh my God.
Jesus.
Is this the person who stole the ketchup bottle? Is this the car crash thing?
It was the bear. The bear ran away, just fucking leapt. It's raining bears. Hallelujah. All right. it must have fallen over like an embankment or something.
Oh. Did it survive? Jumped.
Yeah, it says that the deputy managed to escape.
Oh, I didn't care about that. Did the bear survive?
And don't worry, the bear also fled the scene. That was an official statement.
Well, if he fled the scene, he could still be hurt.
Well, yeah, there's no way. No one's doing a fucking checkup on the bear.
Well, they should be.
He's probably fine. You know how strong bears are?
They're so strong.
Like, pretty strong. Even though there's not, I don't know, like, the strongest bear in California.
I mean, I don't know him personally.
Like, oh, yeah, it's a California bear. So it appears strong, but deep down, it's all fake. It's all a facade. Those muscles are just for show. They're vanity muscles. It also says the fire was contained to about half an acre.
What?
This fucking bear. Yeah. It takes one bear, Smokey the Bear, to try to stop fires. Meanwhile, this bitch is out here running, causing all types of mayhem and havoc. Every time I see a bear, I'm like, what? It's like fucked up to me that bears are real and not just like a mythical character.
I always thought that we like came from bears, not from orangutans and like apes.
All right, that's just dumb.
I was like, they just seem so much more connected to me, personally.
Not at all.
Have you seen the video of the bear in Russia doing a little hula hoop dance?
You mean
we
the
are
one
related.
That was tortured into doing that, probably?
Probably.
And finally, authorities say a 56-year-old Florida man, only in Florida, took his golf cart on a wild ride through a Walmart store, terrorizing shoppers and ignoring deputies' orders to stop before crashing into a cash register. Maybe don't choose a Walmart at this point in history. I think it's unclear to me, I might have said this before, how fast some of those motorized scooters actually are. Because, mm-hmm. like, it feels like a pretty slow enough vehicle for the authorities to be able to stop this man before mm-hmm. he caused too much terror and panic. But I don't know. Some of these people, they're riding around in scooters that are just zipping and zooming down the street. So sheriff's investigators were summoned to the store near Tampa, where they found the man blocking the liquor store entrance with his golf cart. Okay, now it's a golf cart?
It was always a golf cart. I was curious why you went on this whole thing.
Why did you stop me?
Because I thought maybe I was confused. It was definitely a golf cart.
Why did he have a golf cart?
Maybe he was trying to pick up some clubs from Walmart.
Police were summoned because the man was blocking a liquor store entrance with the golf cart, demanding to speak to a manager, I guess still perched in his golf cart. And then when he didn't get his way, he barreled his way into a Walmart.
That is the strongest, can I speak with a manager, stance I've ever heard of, really.
Yeah, nobody has ever asked to speak to the manager of a liquor store. No. They don't even have managers. It's just like one teen at the front. And then a bunch of liquor. Mm-hmm. Take what you have a golf cart. Take what you want. That man is in jail now. So shout out to him. And that's it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, I am screaming against healthy food in this world. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive.
Deep dive.
Deep dive. Deep dive. Deep dive. Deep dive. Deep dive. All right. Well, loyal Unhappy Hour listeners will know that I've been trying to get my life together and stop being a disgusting sack of wet Monopoly money. That's how I identify body-wise. Mm-hmm. My body type is sack of wet Monopoly money. Just useless.
But cute.
Yeah. Nice little pictures on it. Mm-hmm. I want it. I want all of it. But also no value in the real world. But yeah, part of my effort has been cutting back on all of my delicious foods that I love, like pasta and bread and ice cream, mm-hmm. even though we had all three of those things just the other day.
We sure did. It was a treat.
But I still am down this week from last week.
That's great. It is
an arbitrary measure.
But a measure nonetheless.
Yeah, but I was not expecting it given how much I ate. Mm. Anyway, I've been eating a lot more healthy food, and I'm here to say I've had enough of all of it. Every healthy food can eat my dick whole. How's this for healthy? And then I would take out my penis.
Boom.
So let's get into it. Here are the worst healthy foods. I should also start by saying every healthy recipe is a fucking monstrosity. Okay? You have the audacity to substitute shit that has no business being there in the first place. Greek yogurt will never be mayonnaise. Why does she even try? Fucking recipe websites trying to tell me to make a Greek yogurt chicken salad? Absolutely not. Never. In this house? Under this roof? No. Mayonnaise is the Mariah Carey and Greek yogurt is the Ariana Grande. And that's that.
That's that. I'm not going to argue it. It hurts me to hear it. I'm not going to argue it.
At this point, the metaphor comparing Greek yogurt to Ariana Grande has ended.
Okay.
Just want to be clear. Let's mm-hmm. put a marker there because I do love Ariana. And I'm not a huge fan of just plain old Greek yogurt. I should say, actually, the thing that they most often substitute for is sour cream. Also a weird food.
Yeah. I also just don't get substituting. I'm like, do something new. Make
right.
something new with your life. You don't need to pretend like this is something it's not because it will never add up to the real thing.
Yeah. I'm never going to make a taco and put Greek yogurt on it.
No.
I'd rather die.
Sure.
Yeah, there's no good substitute for the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why never wear condoms. Next, kale. Kale, I mean, is the quintessential healthy food. It is the stereotype superfood, but it's, you know, it has a bad reputation for a reason. And that is because it tastes like mutilated construction paper. Like if you were making like a hula dancer out of a paper plate for like a craft project for like children's craft project, mm-hmm. you'd use kale for the grass skirt. That's the perfect consistency for it. Kale has no right being as chewy as it is.
It, like, is an exercise for your jaw.
You eat kale and it's like, okay, I started chewing 7 minutes ago and somehow my mouth is more full than it was when I started this bite. So I have been eating a lot more salads, even though I'm still generally anti-salad. But the number of available leaf options is just untenable at this point. We can't keep up. Every year they introduce a new leaf.
What's wrong with spinach? Spinach is a good flavor. It's a perfect crunch to sog.
I'm also anti-spinach. We've been on the receiving end of a spinach campaign for like 100 years since fucking Popeye.
You're saying Popeye wouldn't get you to eat some spinach?
The 1920s, they were like, oh, look at Popeye's muscles. It's the Depression. All right, he's eating spinach because that's the cheapest available food. It's the cheapest food to iron ratio. I've been eating spinach for how many years? 70 years I've been eating spinach? Where's my muscles? Nowhere. Nowhere to be found.
You got me.
Also, you prepare a feast for like 700 people. That's what it looks like. And then you put it in the pan and then it's like, great. Here's one single wilted leaf that comes out of it. Sick of it.
How do you feel about arugula?
I don't know her. Next, sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are what I imagine ghost meat would taste like. Just a nice slice of ghost meat, just slicing it up in this ghost.
Yeah, because sweet potatoes taste like there should be more flavor in them.
I will say again, this is hypocritical of me. I do enjoy a sweet potato. Nothing will replace the pure joy of a full-blown raw unsheathed potato.
Also fry, like French fries always going to be better than a sweet potato fry. You cannot tell me different.
Right.
You know why I think I didn't like sweet potatoes growing up? Because my dad, when he would clean out my ears when I was a little girl, would call it sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
Like, look, you got sweet potatoes in your ears. Why would I then want to eat a sweet potato on my plate?
Great. Now, every time I eat a sweet potato, I'm going to picture earwax because it definitely has the same appearance and consistency. No, I do like, I think the weird thing to me about potatoes in general is whether or not you eat the skin. People are always like, oh, roughage. What the fuck is roughage? My grandma would always say that. Oh, it's good. It's got roughage. Have you heard that word?
No, I have no idea what that means.
My grandma just made it up. I think it's just another word for like fiber. Yeah, I'm just upset about like the presence of the skin and A, calling it skin, B, eating the potato skin. It's just like, why? Give it to me unskinned. Give it to me.
I'm a fan of the skin. I'm a fan of chicken skin, potato skin, sweet potato skin. I like skin.
I don't like thinking about chicken skin and the fact that people like love it.
I know. It really does upset me that I like it so much.
Next, Brussels sprouts. I learned recently that it's not Brussels sprouts. It's Brussels sprouts.
Yes. If you guys listened all the way through past the credits last episode, you will have heard this discovery.
Oh, was I on mic when I was complaining about Brussels sprouts last week? They definitely smell like, I think they're one of the few foods where the experience of smelling them is like 100% different than the experience of eating them.
Yes.
They smell like full-blown anus, like sphincter, intestinal tract. That's what they smell like.
Mm-hmm.
But they taste fine.
They taste so good, especially sauteed, grilled. Right. I will say that I used to not like them when I was little. And then my mom started making them as what she called, and I think she learned it from her mom, quote unquote, butter balls, where she would just pour butter on them and heat them up in the microwave. And that's how I originally learned how to eat Brussels sprouts. And I was like, these Brussels sprouts are the best Brussels sprouts I've ever had in my whole goddamn life, because it's basically a bowl of butter.
Yeah. Also, they're just little cabbages,
cabbages. They're so cute.
You're just eating baby cabbages.
Yeah. and the abortion of vegetables. Okay.
Next, quinoa. I still am not sure what quinoa is. It sounds like a curse that you'd throw at someone. My studio apartment that I lived in 3 or 4 years ago, I ordered a salad with quinoa in it and accidentally spilled it all over my shag carpet. And
no, it's there forever.
I was like, great.
No getting that out.
Yeah. And then me and the host of bugs that ended up moving in along with me really didn't like how that turned out. Grapefruit?
Just eat an orange.
Oh, one food I don't fuck with, seeds. Sometimes I'll eat seeds and I'm like, who am I? A fucking bird? What am I? Am I going to take a bird bath next? Outside in a little shallow pond on top of a pedestal?
You look so cute doing it, though. Flip-flapping your little wings.
Yeah, I've been getting these, like, containers of mixed nuts, but then there's seeds in them, too. And when by the time I fish out all of the nuts, because those are the best part, all that's left is the fucking seeds, and then I'll eat those. But I'm like, yeah, I feel like some type of small animal, like a squirrel, a chipmunk.
God forbid you feel like a squirrel.
And finally, fucking carrots. All right, listen, I like a carrot as much as the next Bugs Bunny. But I think my beef with carrots is, make a choice. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Are you adult? Are you baby? Are you shredded? Are you a stick? Are you a little disc? Are you a waffle? Some of them have the waffle cut, the little, like a ruffled chip. No, make a choice. I'll support whatever choice you make, but make a choice. In this house, you make a choice.
It's all carrot on the inside.
I don't want to be closed-minded about carrots. Yeah. So that's it for my...
Real growth. Real growth here.
Right. In the span of less than a minute, I came around. I should also say I'm a big fan of bananas, especially in chocolate chip bread form. Blueberries, I like oatmeal. Mm-hmm. Every morning I have that. Mm-hmm. Fuck it up with some brown sugar, though. Let's be clear. Yeah, I don't want to say all healthy foods are bad. Just pick the ones that are delicious, and then we'll get it over with. And that's it for this week's deep dive. Next, we have Jordan Carlos in the studio after this commercial break. We here at Unhappy Hour hope that when you're listening to this pod, you're laughing out loud. And that you're not stifling that laugh because you don't like how your teeth look. No, ma'am. Well, with Smile Direct Club, you can get a smile you'll love in as little as 6 months. And I know I joke around a lot on this show, but this is no joke. All you need to do is visit SmileDirectClub.com to book a free visit and 3D image at one of their smile shops or have an impression kit mailed to you. Then you'll receive an email with a preview of your new smile. Once you get your aligners, one of Smile Direct Club's duly licensed dentists or orthodontists will check in on your progress every 90 days. Get started without leaving the comfort of your home. Find out if you're a candidate by taking the free 30-second smile assessment on their website. Our listeners will get a free at-home impression kit with rebate and $100 off your aligners. Just go to smiledirectclub.com/podcast and use offer code UNHAPPY. Don't wait any longer to get the smile you deserve. Get $100 off at smiledirectclub.com/podcast with the code UNHAPPY. SmileDirectClub.com/podcast, offer code UNHAPPY. My guest complainer today is the hilarious Jordan Carlos.
Oh my God.
He's done everything, so many things, written for Larry Wilmore.
Thank you.
Just was in an episode of Black Mirror.
This is true.
And is one half of Adulting.
Yes.
With Michelle Buteau,
who I
love so much. She was in that very seat.
She was?
It warm, yeah.
Oh my God, I feel so special.
She took a break from being a mom.
Yeah.
she hung up her mom outfit and she came in and we did it.
Absolutely. When was that?
Not that long ago.
Not that long ago?
Yeah.
She's a whirlwind. She's a whirlwind. She's got the twins. She does everything in twos, she tells you.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And she's also, she's like my bestie in comedy. She definitely is an inspiration for me.
Yeah.
Like to keep going and to keep like, to work every day and to like put in the hard work. Like I'm like writing packets right now. And it's hard.
Yeah.
All of it's so hard to kind of like keep convincing people and proving that you can make them laugh, you know?
Right.
I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can people just fucking, can I get a license or something? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like there needs to be like tenure in comedy. And when you reach it, you just don't have to do, you can do whatever you want. And they can't fire, they can put you in a room.
Thank you.
And not let you perform.
Oh, I will take a rubber room. Is there something like with teachers?
Yeah, basically.
I'm with that. I'm with that. But she doing the podcast with her, every month or so when we are actually able to do it. Mm-hmm. It's just a special kind of thing where we get to come together, check in with each other, you know, see how we're doing on this path.
Yeah.
I have kids as well. I have two kids. Yeah. Six.
You're a grown man. Two.
I'm a grown ass guy. I mean, it's pretty sexy when I drive around New York. I have two baby seats in the back.
Right.
People know that I go all the way.
What kind of car is it? We didn't cover
It's a paid for car. It's totally paid for.
Yeah.
It's a Toyota Matrix. I only buy cars that are named after movies.
Sure. I don't know which one. My favorite tweet ever is something like, I never learned what breeds the breeds of cars
are. Yeah.
And I feel that every time. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I'm looking for. What the hell is a Toyota Matrix?
I know. That's so sad. I mean, I grew up in car culture, so I know every single one.
Right.
My wife, however, did not. She grew up here. She doesn't understand what cars are. She doesn't get it. She's like, are there four wheels? Are there three? Like, you tell me.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
Let's just, so, you're from Texas, right?
I'm from Texas.
Yeah. Where the entire state is just one, like, eight-way intersection.
Mixed master highway.
I had to drive in Texas for between two shows. I don't remember what. Where I was. It was maybe San Antonio and like Dallas? Are those close?
Those are nowhere close together. Those are
San
like
San Antonio, Dallas, Houston. I don't know which of those were
like
an hour
were
and a half.
You're just looking for blue dots. You're like in a big red sea, like, please,
Jesus. Honestly, at this point, I like punch in the address. Uh-huh. Not even this, it's just the street address of where I'm going. But it's that's what I spent an entire like 30 minutes probably at a single intersection in Texas because I kept missing the exit.
I'm so sorry.
And Google would correct it and I would just, all right, now I got to go back. And I just like kept, it's just like they're all, there's too many options.
I'm so sorry.
And I'm like, I'm from outside of Chicago. It's not like, you know, it's not like I grew up in like a place where there's two roads that cross one another. I know how to drive.
Have. Oh, of course.
Although there is an internet thing where like gays don't know how to drive, and which I'm a little resentful of.
Gays don't know how to drive. I've never heard that.
I guess we can't do math and we can't
drive. What the? What is happening?
And
right
as
now?
A license owning former mathlete, I take umbrage.
Take wow, that's a good word.
Yeah, I don't know if I used it right.
No, you totally did.
Did
you
I?
Took, okay. You take umbrage. And what? I mean, the guy that cracked the Enigma code, gay. And could drive like the fucking wind.
Right, right.
Definitely, but gay. I don't know if he could drive. He's British, so they
that's
drove it on the side.
Alan Turing?
Alan Turing, yeah. Yes.
He had other problems to deal with.
He had other
you know,
problems
like
to deal with.
Like chemical castration.
But through it all, despite take the man's balls, but he was still great at math.
That's
okay?
True, right. That's where we got there from.
So
from
I'm
math.
Trying to I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to, okay, know your history. All right, so.
Yeah, and the one thing that we usually start with is we usually ask everybody, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
One thing I hate that everybody else loves?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is sort of like your unpopular, and you can take your time as many as you want. We could go
don't
through
do
your
this
list,
to me.
But it's, you know your what unpopular opinion.
My unpopular opinion? I generally hate hype.
Uh-huh.
People love to get excited about it. That's all we have is anticipation.
Yeah.
All we have left is anticipation.
Hype is the currency of today.
I can't wait for the new thing to drop. I can't wait for the cartoon I saw when I was a kid to turn into real life so they can do it, turn into cartoon again. You know,
well,
like,
yeah.
There's all that. And have you seen the thing? Did you watch it? Did you watch the Bachelorette finale? It's coming out. Did you 98 Day Beyonce? Did you watch that? Like all this stuff. And like, I'm always like, no, like, because I want to talk about other stuff. I want to talk about, I I'm bad at small talk sometimes. So think
that is like small talk go to is like what's being hyped right now.
It's the fuel.
Yeah.
It's the fuel. And I just don't. I am not collecting the kindling.
Yeah.
It's really bad. And I see now that it's because I'm antisocial. I'm like, this would probably make dinner go a lot smoother
yeah.
if I if I would just learn about all the characters on Vanderpump Rules.
Right.
And I can't do it. You know what I mean? So I'll be like, I was just watching this powerful documentary about Reconstruction that I think that everybody, people are like, oh my God, I'm gonna die.
Right.
You have to be in the mood. People always, I have to be in the mood for that. Which just means I'm never going to watch that.
Yeah.
No one's when ever in the mood
for just a good Reconstruction documentary.
Oh, my God. There's so many good ones. There's so many. There's one about Andrew Johnson and his impeachment.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
That's, I think, really important for these days in HS.
It's relevant.
But let's talk about the real shit. What's your thing? What do you like?
Oh, what do I like?
See, I'm trying to be social. Yeah. But I always miss it.
What am I into? I just started watching High Maintenance on HBO for the first time.
I watched that too. Why? Yeah. So I could relate to people and talk to them and understand the guy. And then,
but how many things are you, how many things do you think you partake in without enjoyment that you're only watching because there is hype?
So many.
Yeah.
So many. Let's see.
Because there are some things like, you know, High Maintenance. Yeah. I watched it because people were like, you should watch this. But also I like genuinely enjoy it.
Yes.
I feel like I have gotten better at being like, I'm not going to watch this thing just because everybody is watching it. But like, yeah, sometimes things are just like awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things are awkward. Things are so awkward. I mean, like, I think that the onstage persona that we put forth is definitely, you know, cultivated and good, and you laugh every 20 seconds. But when people off stage, when they come up to me and talk to me, oh my God, I have like five things to say. Yeah. That's about it. And that's, you're going to run out of road. If people complimenting me, they're like, oh, you did really great. You were so funny. It's like, you know what? You got great taste in comedians. That's all I have, because it brings it back to me and it's so funny. And then I'm like, please let the interest drain out of you so that I can leave, get paid. That's it. That's all I want. You know what I mean? I came here to talk at you, talk to you. I am so bad at it. I'm so bad at that after. And then like an industry person will come up and be like, I'm so-and-so from, you know, Speedialite Pictures. And I can't do the delicate back and forth that you're supposed to. I can't do that. I'm like, did you like what I did up there? In the big room, I was good. Put me in a small room, I'm a fucking lunatic. If you like that, put me in the movie. Quit making me come to some room where people ask me, no offense, this is great water, but people ask me, but of the different, you know what I'm saying? Quit making me come to offices with AC, with, oh God, a lady in a nice sundress, and I can't with there's a dog now in the office. I'm not prepared for all this. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I think that because of this, what it's taught me is that I just have to make my own thing.
Yeah.
And that because either you make your own dream, or people will pay you to create theirs for them. Right.
Right.
So for me, it's just like, I need it, and I'm doing a pretty good job of it. But it's like, I just have to create my own space, create my own content and things like that. And because fitting into somebody else's definition of what, you know, what they need, what they want, it's too much. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's so I'm donezo. I'm waiting for this podcast to say it. This is my coming out of being done with going in for these
headlines.
Dumb interviews.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But it was fun. I mean, I've had writing gigs before.
Mm-hmm.
They've been great. However, they are, I mean, it's like jaw clenched, butt tight. Like, it's tough, man, out there in these streets. And you just, there's so much drama in comedy. That's what I hate. I'm really, I don't know, if you're wondering what I'm annoyed by, it's drama and comedy. People love comedy.
Uh-huh.
I hate the drama they're in. All they see, all they taste is the sausage. They don't go down to the factory and see how it's made.
Right.
Because let me tell you right now. My experiences writing comedy are wild.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, they're wild.
I don't know how, like, as a fan and observer of comedy, you don't see the sausage being made. You see, you know, you see the end result. Hopefully it's enjoyable. But as someone who's like, you know, as someone who tries to participate in it, how do you not lose
your goddamn
faith?
Mind.
Yeah.
Because the check is huge.
Right.
The check is so big. It's so big. And then you see people, like, I remember I was like, I just wrote for this season of Divorce.
Uh-huh.
And I had a wonderful time writing for it. But I think the problem was I had to make a separate piece, which was like every week I would get this insane amount of money. But I have to deal with people mm-hmm. for whom either that amount of money, they were making 30 times what I made.
Right.
And they were the most miserable.
Yeah.
Which is like crazy.
Which is crazy to me. Yeah. The amount of money correlates to the misery.
Well, I think it's like a glass that can be filled with anything, with your anxieties, with your bullshit, whatever.
You know?
And so like that was, I don't know, I'm a weirdo though. Like the more morose and dark you are and more like despondent about like whatever your situation is. and if we're in the same situation, I'm doing great. I'd be awesome in a lifeboat. I'd be great. I'd be the one to live because the rest of everybody would be like, you know, whatever. It would be like life of pie. You would like my dad's turned into a fucking tiger. Like whatever.
Right.
Like I would. I know. I'm always like when people are excited, I stay calm.
Right.
You know, that's what it is. I take it down a notch. And so I was like, I don't know if I'm
understanding the lifeboat metaphor. So when like everybody else is freaking out, you'll be like, chill.
I'll be fine. I'll be chill.
That's the moment like where you're like.
The air in our lungs. So much water. We can't drink
us.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Rose lets go of your hand and you sink down to the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, my God. There just wasn't enough door.
There was. And it's been proven.
What?
I'm not gonna steal.
No,
who was I?
Those
like...
doors were those were French doors. the glass would have cracked.
The whole thing should have fucking sunk, or Rose should have.
I mean,
what a movie!
What a time to be alive. I feel like this. Like, I'm a weirdo in that I can remain calm in crazy times, especially in like Hollywood settings, because I know that I'm getting paid a lot of money to actually not do real work. It's not real work. It's just not real work, but people will pour over it like it is real work. They'll be like, "Oh, what about the relationship of it all, or what about the they'll use these insane terms about the characters. I'm trying not to like give too much away. Like, what about the Eric and Maria of it all? Or I'm like, what is he just saying? You know, like I had no idea coming in what that kind of experience would be like. I just knew that I could get off on 26th Street. I could take a bike there, took the boat to the bike. Beautiful days in the summer. Would get myself a smoothie on the 8th floor. Martha Stewart was in the building. It was like, it was paradise. And you know what?
Chill.
Yeah. On the third day that I was there, I was like, I just wanted people to have fun. I was like, on the third day I was there, I was like, do you guys want to go to the merry-go-round that's right next door? And they were like, okay. So we went on a merry-go-round and then like we had a great time. But then after, people were like, darkness, isolation.
Right.
I was like, no, it can be amazing because you're not actually doing real work. Real work is like, you know, the people at like the corner, the intersection of like Crosby and Prince, they're like, they have like, you know, they do the summertime, like fucking jackhammering in the street with no shade, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Down in Soho. That's work. I mean, to explain it to people, that's summer work.
Right.
What we were doing was like bouncing shit off the wall and like having fun. You know what I mean? Or I was.
Yeah.
I'm better than other people.
I mean, I always say like, you know, people will say, oh, this so-and-so is like the hardest working person in Hollywood. Like, no one will ever say that about me.
You're not? I get a feeling that you are hardworking though.
You're
well-shaven.
You. I don't know why you think that.
You're well-groomed.
Just well-shaven. That's
well-shaven. It. I see no nasal hair, people, for those listening on.
Well, that's because the mic, I'm hiding my nasal bush behind this mic. There's probably a few that'll stick out.
I mean,
but thank you. I like how those are the two metrics. My cheek is bare and I have no nasal hairs.
That's
hardworking.
Right now, you're tall.
Yeah,
you got a lot going for you.
Right.
You got a lot going for you. You know what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah.
Were you always that way, or was like, did you have jobs that you were like, this fucking
I've always had dumb
terrible?
Jobs.
Yeah.
I've always had dumb these jobs are not jobs. a hard day's work in a cold beer would kill me.
Yeah.
I did all my work when I was a child. When I was a child, my mother, who was raised on a farm in Mississippi, would make us do all the gardening, all the weeding, all the, you know, like in Texas, so much scorpions, ants, other Texans could kill you out there. You know what I'm saying? And we would do that in 100 degree heat. She wouldn't care. We'd have like, we'd be passed out with heat stroke. She'd be like, give him some salt. He'd be all right. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, We were like, I mean, I remember like at one time, like my mom, like singing field songs while I was like picking up thorny. I was like, why do we have thorny weeds, mom? Uh-huh. What is this?
Did you get like an allowance?
You're so, I love you.
I'm white. I grew up in a white household. Although to be fair, which is probably even more white, is that my mom, we didn't get paid in cash. We just, there was like a prize basket.
A prize basket?
All right, you did a few things this week.
My God.
You can pick from the prize basket.
Where did you grow up? In the Brady Bunch and Leave It to Beaver? How did you grow up? Like, that is amazing.
Yeah, my mother always had an apron on. No, absolutely not. She was like in her pajamas. I'd be making my sandwich in the morning. My favorite thing to remember is that when I was old enough that I could, like, make my own sandwich or, like, lunch, I would make it in the morning, but I never trusted the lunch meat. I was a very scared child. And so I'd take the lunch meat to my mom and hold it under her her nose while she was still half asleep and be like, Mom, sniff this. Is this okay?
I mean, you have to be, and your head's on a swivel, but you know what? You're here.
Yeah.
They never got you.
I was vigilant, and that's why I'm alive.
When did you start making your lunch? Second grade?
No, I think it was later than that.
Fourth grade?
Probably, yeah. Fifth or sixth grade.
Did you ever put milk in your lunch? And then, like, see, Texas, there were so many things you'd want to put in your lunchbox in the East Coast. You could put so much in your lunchbox and it'll keep. In Chicago, I'm sure you could put shit in there and it'll keep. We had nothing that would keep.
Because in Texas, you're going to school in the desert.
Yeah, it would be as warm. By the time that you drank your milk at lunch, it would be as warm as blood. It was like so awful. It was.
Did you not have those like insulated?
No.
The little pouch where like an ice pack.
Oh, the rich kids did. I was like, Mom, please, can we have the pouch? She's like, why don't you go join that family if you want your ice pouches? It's terrible.
What did you have for lunch then? Or you had the same?
Sand. It was I ate sand. No, I ate a lot of peanut butter and jelly.
Sure.
My mom was down with the wheat bread back then. Uh-huh. Nice warm apple.
Right.
Nice squishy banana. And some more milk to wash it all down with.
I feel like actually for most of school we had our own. You'd bring your food,
mm-hmm.
but then there was like milk that you'd get from school.
Oh, yeah, get that cold milk.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I always judged the kids. When people would put their mouths like too much on the cardboard. Absolutely. And it would get like
gross.
Moist. Yeah.
Well, there was an etiquette to it.
Yeah.
You were either good or bad. You didn't want to make that kind of like cut all the way down across the missing person's face. You know what I'm saying? Because how could you identify the person anymore?
Right.
Yeah. It's like a good, like back in the day when OJ would come and like in those boxes, it's like you had to, you had to get it right.
I don't know that reference quite.
I'm sorry.
OJ little
Tropicanas. Little Tropicanas can be like Fort Knox. I'm like, what the fuck are we doing?
I literally thought you meant OJ Simpson was doing like demonstrations.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like traveling around doing demonstrations on how to like open milks.
Well, probably don't want to squeeze the juice. You know, like that was probably his thing. He's like, don't want to squeeze the juice, guys.
Right.
I get it right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And
some lady would make him upset. That's the part you didn't see.
Yeah.
That didn't make the cutting room, the cutting room floor.
All you find is a pile of blood and some gloves.
A glove. Oh, what were you even talking about?
I don't know how we got Texas.
So here's the deal. So I did real work when I was a child.
Uh-huh.
Did real work and real like hard labor. And then by the time I became an adult, I was like, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I want to use my wits and all. And so I did advertising, which is not a job.
Right.
I did advertising for a long time. I was like Don Draper without all the, you know, alcoholism and banging women and all that stuff. But a lot like it. That's not a job. That's not a job at all. That's not a hard job. That is a very easy job. All you have to do in advertising is figure out people's insecurities. So if you're insecure, if you feel like take the insecurities and make them empowering.
Uh-huh.
That's all people do.
Look,
that's all wealth, health, size, whatever.
Yeah.
Take it, make it.
So yeah, you made everybody fucked up.
Yep.
And now, well, to be fair, everybody was already fucked up.
We were already fucked up.
Yeah. You just kind of like made it worse.
Well, I think the problem, I think the problem was that people, you know, like we try to get shit off the shelf.
Yeah.
And so to do that, it also plays in with people being socialized to believe that you can buy your way out of your emotions and things like that.
Right.
So it's
right.
So what it made me into was someone that just really, now I don't spend any money, very frugal. And like, there's holes in my pants all the time, which Michelle always talks about. I'm like that. I couldn't wait for dadhood because dads don't have to dress up.
No, you can fully embrace it in that moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just look like a mile of bad road all the time. Just like 5 pounds of shit in a 3 pound bag. Just
that's
like,
fine.
I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's wonderful. I didn't moisturize. There's another thing that annoys
thank
me.
You for apologizing though.
Yeah. Do you know how to be a man of color and person of color and moisturize every fucking day to go through that much whatever you name it, you know, Neutrogena, cocoa butter, shea butter, you know, all these things. Like we have to get up and like we shower and then we have to slab on a whole thing.
Right. Which like everybody should be doing.
Everybody should be doing, but we especially.
Yeah,
because it shows up and it's no bueno.
I feel like, yeah, I as a gay, I am, well attuned to moisture. I have I have 10 different moisturizers, none of which do anything that I've spent way too much money on.
Yeah.
Let's see. Wild transition.
You asked what makes me laugh, right? Were you going to ask that? I'm like taking over the interview.
No. What does make you laugh?
Restaurants make me laugh.
Why?
Because you're so young. How old are you?
29.
Oh my God.
I just turned 29.
Oh my God.
This past Friday.
You were at the apex of your 20s.
Yeah.
Fuck off. That's a prime year too. 29 is a prime year. Look at you.
Is it? We'll see.
Yeah. No, I'm doing the math. We just talked about Alan Turing and gays in math. Okay. Come on.
Yeah.
It's a prime. Stop. Edit that out. Edit that out that you didn't know it was a prime number.
Oh, I know it's a prime number.
You asked me if it is.
I thought you said that it's like a prime year.
Prime year?
I meant
prime
like
number
I thought
year.
You meant like prime. Yeah.
I'm talking about.
We got it.
This
got
is
it.
For you.
Mm-hmm.
This is for you. Anyway.
Why do restaurants make you laugh?
Restaurants make me laugh because this is
all restaurants?
I have. This is all I have left.
Yeah.
Do you understand? I have two kids. I can't go. Well, you probably pre-party at the restaurant and then you're going to go do something else and people are going to go to House of Yes. And then maybe you're not going to, I don't fucking know, but you end up on a rooftop and you know what I'm saying?
I have the soul and joints of a much older person. Okay? So I don't know what party, a pre-party at a restaurant. The party is the restaurant.
Okay, fine.
I order soup in the middle of summer.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. I like you. Chicken noodle soup and rice. I'm so excited to say it.
I like a creamy soup.
You like a creamy?
And that
why
is,
do you look deeply into my eyes and say that?
My problem, and this is why I have to be an old soul, is that like I'm
you
now
are old.
Fully accepted that I'm lactose intolerant and cannot. So it's like, all right, if I'm going to eat a creamy soup, that's the night.
That's
like we can't make plans after a creamy soup.
So yeah, okay. That's all I have left is restaurants. My wife always wants to find the hottest new, you know, restaurant in New York that's like inspired by mineral inspired. I went to one that said it was mineral inspired. Mineral inspired. Our food is mineral inspired. I hope so.
What does that even mean?
I think there's minerals in what you.
All of it?
The
everything?
Periodic table, I hope, is present in this food.
That's what is
ridiculous.
So. Yeah. I don't like when people say shit like that, where it's like, this is just the things that all things are made of.
Right.
Yes. Like, I know the example I always give is when everybody got mad because the bread at Subway has the same stuff that is in like yoga mats. And it's like everything has the same shit in it. You can make everything sound gross if you just say the chemicals that we're all made of.
There's carbon in this?
Yeah. But totally. Also like, yeah, you are eating a yoga mat. I'm not defending Subway.
I mean, they're artists. We know that. But
anyway,
like, but I was just saying restaurants in New York are very much like, they all are unique, so they're all the same, right? So we go to restaurants, and like, I remember we went to this one, Olmsted. Not now. We didn't go to Olmsted presently.
Yeah.
But like a year and a half ago, when it was like, it was the hot mess on the fucking street. It was just like, what's good? I'm fucking Olmsted. And you had to have like, you know, Wikipedia to understand that Olmsted was named after Frederick Law Vaugh Olmsted, the guy who designed not only Central Park, but Prospect Park, which he was right down the street from. So don't fuck around with Olmsted, okay? Like, you either know that or you get the fuck out of my restaurant. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like the preciousness of restaurants has hit a degree in my book that makes me laugh so much. Olmsted was one thing. We went to Ample Hills, which is right down the street.
Yeah.
Of course, Ample Hills. I was on the phone with my friend telling them that I was at Ample Hills. I was like, I'm at this ice cream shop, Ample Hills. This guy goes, it's a creamery. So I threw him out of the plate glass window. I understand. I think it comes from a desperation that you would just be a mom and pop store, that you would live a basic kind of normie life.
Yeah.
And that you would just have an ice cream parlor.
Right.
Have a restaurant. And that's it. That was your whole fucking life. But no, you broke the goddamn mold. Take what you know about ice cream. Throw it out a goddamn window. You're at Ample Hills now. You walk in and there's Ample Hills. I remember like walking. I was like, Ample Hills. Why don't I know that? Oh, yeah. There's a Walt Whitman poem called where he uses the line Ample Hills to talk about Brooklyn. And we walk in and the whole poem is there.
It's on the wall.
They want you to know that they went to Oberlin. Do you understand? They want you to know that they were art semiotics majors at Brown. Okay. Like, this need for you to understand how special of a snowflake people are is driving me out of my fucking mind.
You might be the only person who noticed the poem on the wall. Because I can tell you, I've never, I'm there for the cream and that is it. And then it's over because I've eaten dairy and I have to go home. The whole thing gets back to the whole hype thing. It's now like, restaurants rely on hype.
Yeah.
Well, we are officially out of time.
Oh my God. What did we even talk about?
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Good.
Because I was going to ask more about adulting, but I feel like we covered a lot of adulting topics.
I think it's like, I'll say this in closing: embrace yourself, be who you are.
Yeah.
Don't give a fuck. Come to the conclusion sooner than I did.
Yeah.
You know, but once you do, it's so freeing. It's so fucking freeing because nobody can do it like you do. You know, like, I do my stand up. I follow people at the Cellar all the time. People that are fantastic comics. And I'm like, I can do that too. It feels so good to know that. And you know who lets me know? It's not, you know, Comedy Central. It's not blogs. It's not people on, God, who knows, on Instagram. It's just the people in the audience that tell me.
Yeah.
The people from Topeka or whoever or from Williamsburg, doesn't matter. They tell me that's all that matters. And that is adulting. That's growing up and letting go of needing other people's approval is super important. I think that's what we were like, kind of like getting at. And like, and just being yourself and wearing condoms.
Right. Yeah.
And getting tested.
And if none of that works, just be clean shaven and trim your nose hairs.
It went a long way for me.
Everyone will think that you have your shit together.
Appearances are everything.
Two approaches.
Well,
thank you. Before we let you go, where can people find you and your work?
You can find me, of course, on iTunes. We will be dropping another episode of Adulting coming up very soon. And then I'll be on tour, Pop-Up Magazine.
Nice.
The tour days drop very soon on the 20th of August. We'll be doing the West Coast. So we'll be doing San Diego, LA, San Francisco, Oakland, Vancouver. And then we're going to be going back east to Chicago, your hometown.
Amazing.
DC, and then in David Geffen Hall in New York. I'm really excited about that.
Awesome.
It's all a part of Pop-Up Magazine. It's pretty awesome. And then just at me, Jordan Carlos. I mean, don't at me, but like, get at me at Jordan Carlos on Twitter, Jordan Carlos Official on Instagram. That's me right now.
Amazing.
Yeah, living free.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time. That's my way of saying this was great.
I like it. This is so much fun.
All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad stuff go down easier, starting with the TV shows we've been watching this week. Barry, what you been watching?
Still watching Mad Men. And then I started watching Bless This Mess. I was looking for another like 30-minute sitcom kind of thing. It's not going to get too dark. I just wanted to like throw it on while I do stuff. And Chelsea Devantes is a comedian I've worked with in like podcasting stuff before. And I just love her a lot. She's amazing. And she writes for the show. And it's Lake Bell and Dax Shepard. And they're like a New York couple who inherit this farm in Nebraska. And they're like, we're going to go. It's going to be this incredible life. And then they go. And it's, of course, horrible. The cast is amazing. And it's fun. It's not like it's the same creator as New Girl.
Uh-huh.
And it's very like cutesy.
Yeah.
But there's some like funny jokes and I want to keep watching it. I watched like 4 episodes in a row. So, yeah, it was I think that people who listen on Happy Hour would probably really like it. So,
yeah,
that's what I'm watching. And I think the second season starts filming soon. So it's going to keep going. What about you? And it's on Hulu.
I've only seen the first episode, but a Black Lady sketch show.
Oh my God, I meant to watch that so I could talk about it. I've only seen one of the skits.
A Black Lady sketch show is on HBO. It is exactly what the title says it is, but everybody on it is hilarious. And like so many people have been on Happy Hour are in it.
Yeah.
Quinta Brunson, who I used to work with at BuzzFeed.
Ashley Nicole Black.
Ashley Nicole Black, who I love. And it's gotten like stellar reviews.
Yeah.
Deservedly. Yeah, the first episode was super funny. I think it's Robin Thede who created and ran it. Yeah, who I also love and who is yet to be on Unhappy Hour. Also
Goals.
Went to Northwestern, so a nerd. She's probably done a better job paying off her loans than I have. But yeah, it's super funny and cute. And yeah, every one of those people is hilarious. And together it is great.
Oh, Nicole Byer. That was another person.
Yeah,
who
Nicole
was on
Byer was on
was
the
on
first
the
episode. Yeah. A bunch of people. Yeah. So watch it. What is your non-TV chaser?
Well, it was with you. We went and saw Jack Novak's show.
Yeah.
Get on Your Knees. And I loved it. It was so good. And I'm going again. I bought tickets because I want my boyfriend to come with and see it. So that was fun. Also, just like, I mean, I go and see like comedy shows, like stand-up nights and stuff like that fairly often. But I just don't go and like see like one woman shows and like shows that aren't like giant Broadway productions. I was like, I gotta do more of this. Granted,
yeah.
Not all of them are gonna be as good as that was, but
right.
It was really enjoyable. And also, as you know, joined a CSA, getting like a plethora of food and fruit and veggies and stuff. And I'm like trying to figure out what to do with all the stuff, especially like Alex and I are going out of town, so we can't bring it all with us. So we're infusing vodka with apricots.
Sure.
And I'm very excited about it. You just cut up some fruit, you throw it in the vodka, and you just shake it once a day for like 3 to 5 days.
And then you drink the vodka.
Yeah, you strain it and you drink the vodka.
I see.
And it's like apricot flavored.
Right, right.
It's going to be really nice.
Do you eat the apricots?
I don't think you should, but you could if you want to get real fucked up.
Yeah, I do. When do I
I'll not? Make a pie. I'll make an apricot pie, drunk pie for you.
Good.
Yeah, what about you? What's your chaser?
Mine is compliments of this week's guest. I have been listening nonstop to Adulting, the podcast.
Ah.
I'm going to be a crazy comedy podcast guy who suggests another comedy
Whoa.
Podcast. Yeah, and then you'll go and you'll listen to that and you'll fall in love with them and then abandon us because you can only listen to one.
No. You can listen to so many.
But yeah, we didn't talk a lot about the actual podcast with Jordan, but Adulting is the podcast he co-hosts with Michelle Buteau, and they're both super funny. And it's mostly, I think it's all of them are live shows mm-hmm. that they do here in New York. And yeah, it's like a live comedy show that they then turn into a podcast you can listen to. And yeah, it's super, both of them are super funny. And their guests are like amazing. Like they had Vanessa Williams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Adulting is super fun. Love listening to them. I listened to it the other. I walked across the Brooklyn Bridge for the
Woo-hoo!
First time. Yeah, very frustrating. Too many people. But last time I do that.
Walking at a snail's pace.
Yeah. And there's like bikes coming at you.
Yeah,
and,
there's
and
not really
violently
defined.
Fast. No, it's very mm-hmm. scary and mm-hmm. I'll never do it again. But I listened to their podcast while I did it and it was fun. It. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts, hit that subscribe button, then rate us and review us, but all the effort's nice. I don't want to read your shit.
Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Media. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, and me, Matt Belisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our music is by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at Finkelberry Pie. You can worship me at Matt Belisai. And you can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter for all the latest podcast buzz. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. I've been great till I gotta be great. What is Swiss chard? Also, why are they Swiss? Why do the Swiss own that? You're gonna tell me the Swiss have all these great things like a delicious sugary fish and also chard? Also, why is it Swedish fish and Swiss chard? Swiss is different. It's Switzerland. I just realized that real time.